Good morning. Everybody happy? You doing all right? Yeah, y'all look good. They do look good. Wow, that's amazing. I don't know what it is. I'm Oklahoma. It's the weather. Hey, look at me, people. Everybody look at Reggie. I know you're giving an offering, and that's cool. Go right ahead. But I've been in Oklahoma for like 6 days now. And in the last 6 days, I've seen every possible weather you can have in your whole life. No, it ain't right. I told the kids at school on Monday it was so cold I almost turned white. Thursday I was tanning, getting my tan back. And then the wind started blowing. It's not good. It's not good. But I'm here another week. The total for the 2 weeks in Oklahoma, we will do about 38,000 public school students in the state of Oklahoma. We're halfway through now. And cool. The Webster basketball team was here. They tore it up, y'all. I thought when they went up by 20, they would, like, slow down. They hit the gas. I feel sorry. We need to say a prayer for that Locust school that they played last night, because them little brothers are like, it's just not good. I'm just saying. They kind of feel like New England. I'm going to be honest. See, I don't get to pick which side I have to speak. They tell us on Monday that we're speaking Friday, and it's either the NFC champ or the AFC champ. I got the AFC champions, and Tony Dungy got the NFC champions. And Tony Dungy texted me last Monday letting me remember that he spoke to Philadelphia and that they won. And I spoke to New England, and they lost. And I said, where's the encouragement, bro? But it's good. Hey, if you got a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. All I have is one Bible story for you today. It's going to be a good day, a really good day. And I also have a song. Who's never heard me? Raise your hand. You ain't never heard me before. Ooh, you in for a good day, because you know why? I'm from Tennessee. I'm a preacher, and I'm black. It's a good day, y'all. It's just a really, really good day. Oh, there's rules. There's rules. So everybody, do me a favor. Rule number one, you got to talk to your neighbor. When there's a black preacher, you got to talk to your neighbor. So right now, touch your neighbor and say, I got to talk to you. Tell them right now. Touch your other neighbor and say, I'm going to talk to you. Number two, you got to talk to the preacher. Everybody say, come on, Reggie. Oh, that's good. Number three, you're going to have a good time. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. It's going to be good. So let's do this. I'm going to play for you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you love us and that this is the plan. And God, as we learn from a story that you told the people, let it change our life. From the front to the back, the left to the right, let it change our life. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Cool. This is a soprano saxophone. And I'll play a song for you, okay? Thank you. Come on, say, all right, all right, all right. Y'all good? Y'all ready? Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I'm going to read it to you. I'll explain it. And we out, because we're going to get some chicken. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 says this. It's just a story. It's just a story. Now here's what it says. Jesus continued. So he's telling the story. He says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided it up, the property between them. Stop right there. Now look, I grew up a little different probably than you Oklahoma folk. Matter of fact, I found out there's only two ways you raise children. Old school or new school. Now look, I'm not here to debate which one's better. You just got to understand, this is probably the new school way of raising a child. I'm just saying. But let's find out who you are. Let's find out who we are, all right? So let me give you a scenario. Let's say you get in trouble at school. And before you get home from school, the school called your mama. So by the time you walk in the front door, mama already talked to the principal. Mm-hmm. New school. New school, your mama looks at you and says, I'm taking away your Xbox for 2 weeks. Highly effective in some children. Old school, tomorrow, you go to school with a limp. Okay, wait. If you didn't understand that, let me give you another scenario, okay? I got to get everybody on the same page. Let's say that you get in a little argument with mama after she does this, and you get mad, and you say something like, I hate you, I wish I was never born, stuff like that, and run in your bedroom and slam the door. New school, your mama comes to the door like Dr. Phil. She'd be knocking. Baby, we got to talk. We got to talk. Old school, your mama pulls a Chuck Norris on the door, and tomorrow you go to school with a limp. Anybody starting to get an idea of where I'm going on this? But we just got to find out who you are, all right? Let's keep going. Let's just say this. Mama says, wait till your daddy gets home. Okay, right there proves some of y'all old school right there. Did you hear? Some dude back here went, oh, God, help me. I mean, I'm just saying. There's a good time to be asking God for help, and that would be one of them. But let's just say if you dad, all right? You dad, you coming home from work, long day at work, and you see your wife in the front yard. New school, your wife greets you almost every day. She's there. Hi, baby. How was your day? Old school, you see your wife in the front yard. You keep driving. I mean, you be finding something out. I left something at work. I can't come home. That's what I'm just saying. Now, look. Now, see, right now, some of y'all, you like trying to pretend you new school because you think that's better. But we all know who you are. And we might as well help you come out of the closet on a Sunday morning right now. So here we go. The last thing is called the daddy speech. So mama says, wait till your daddy get home. So you stay in your room till your daddy get home. Then dad comes in. You can hear mama. And you know if you dad and she starts referring to the children as your kids, it ain't good. All of a sudden your dad opens the door, walks in. Now here we go. I'm going to give you the old school daddy speech, only the first half. But if you old school up in this church, you got to finish it. Now, some of you right now in your head's going, don't say nothing. But it ain't going to happen. You got to. It's in human nature to finish this. So dad walks in the room, looks at the kid and says, y'all ready? Finish this. Hey, I brought you into this world and. I just want y'all to know the whole Webster basketball team is ghetto because they all said it together in unison. I'm just saying. Go ahead, everybody, clap your hands because you know that's true. That's true. It's true. But not in our story this morning. No. This dad split it up, gave the boy his junk, gave it just a head. It's yours. And look, not long after, the younger one who got all the money, he got his stuff together and set off to a distant country where he squandered his wealth in wild living. Everybody say, wild living. Now, see, that's Bible talk. Let me put it to you my way. You know what? That little brother went, he went nasty. That's what he did. He went crazy. The brother spent everything. He went crazy, nasty. He acted like a fool. That's what he did. He spent everything. It gone. He spent it all. Gone. Y'all got me? All right, touch your neighbor and say, I know this story, but I've never heard it this entertaining before in my life. That's why I'm your guest speaker today, all right? Wild living. Look at this. After he has spent everything. Everybody say everything. This is crazy. That brother spent everything he had. And right after he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. Huh? And he began to be in need. Everybody say he needed help. Touch your neighbor and say, that boy needed help. Okay, now wait. Y'all do know, just in case you don't know, I'm having you repeat things for a reason. Not just to repeat them. We're going to come back. They're going to help you out on a Sunday morning. Let's finish. It says, so he went and hired himself to a citizen in that country. So he sold himself to some dude. That ain't good. Watch this. When he did, the person he sold himself to sent him out into the fields to feed pigs. Now, that may not seem like nothing to some of you, but I grew up and my dad was a farm boy before he moved to the city. And it was only like an hour and a half from Knoxville, Tennessee, back in the country. So we would go out there and they would thought it would be funny because they had pigs. They had pigs and they would have me help feed the pig. Them pigs ate some of the nastiest. It's the smell. I love bacon. The bacon's so good. Bacon is the best thing. You put bacon on anything, it's going to be all right. I'm just saying, all right? But how can something so good like bacon come from something so nasty like pig slop? Is anybody know? Has anybody smelled that before? Raise your hand. If you're from Iowa, you know what I'm talking about. There's more pigs in Iowa than people. That ain't good. And dude, this stuff smells. It smells so bad. And this dude was feeding the pills. Watch this. It says he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. I almost threw up on the cross. I'm just saying, all right? Because I know what that smell is. Dude, you have to go a long way to think that you could eat something that nasty. That is wrong. Touch your neighbor and say, you're going too far. Watch this. Verse 17, I like this. When he came to his senses, let me give you the Reggie term. The brother woke up. Everybody touch your neighbor and say, that brother woke up. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men. So I set up, he got up, and he set out to see his father. But while he was a long way off, everybody say, that brother far, far away. While he was a long ways off, his father saw him coming. Filled with compassion, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said, Father, I've sinned against you in heaven, and you are no longer called to be worthy to be called your son. But the father didn't even listen. The father said to the servant, quick, bring me my best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a celebration. For my son that was dead is alive again. Everybody say amen. My son who was dead is alive again. If I have to have a title and I only have 10 points and I don't do points like those other kind of people, then my 10 point, we are probably 12 minutes from beating the Methodists to the Chick-fil-A if it was open. They're going to Chick-fil-A because they don't know it's closed. We're going to the buffet and get the white meat before they get in line. Word. Chicken? All right. If I have to put a title to this, the title is simple. Hey, can I say something before I give you my title? Nobody's moved in this whole room. Usually somebody had like 9 cups of coffee. But I've never, ever been. I mean, literally everybody in the room's like, I don't know if you're scared to move. It's all right. It's good. But it's like I did camp in Oklahoma last summer. And the first night I got up to speak. And when I did, this boy got up and just started to walk out. And I said, where are you going? And he turned around and he says, I got to go to the bathroom. I said, you should have went before I started. He says, I got to go. I said, okay, I'll wait. So I put the mic down and waited. So this is, it's pretty funny because on Tuesday, we go to Broken Arrow High School, right? Big school. I had to do two sessions to fit everybody. So the very first session, this lady walks in and goes, hey, I'm assistant principal. So I got a kid who's coming. He goes, can I go to the bathroom? She said, why? He said, because I got to go before we get in that gym. Because that brother going to crucify somebody if they think they go to the bathroom while he's speaking. She goes, I started laughing because I'm like, are you serious? He goes, you have no idea. He said, it was like 1,000 people. And he waited until the guy came back. And when the guy came in the back door, he said, did you wash your hands? And no, and the little brother went, no. I said, get your little self back out there and wash your hands. I'll wait. Nasty. The title of my short sermon today is simply this. The path to the pig pen. The path to the pig pen. Number one. This boy went to his dad and said, I want what's mine. Give me what's mine. I'm taking what's mine. That's when it started. The path to nasty. The path to the smell. The path to the pig pen. Because when you take your life in your own hands, when you take your life out of God's hands, you ask him for it. Because there will always be somebody that'll lead you down the path to the pig pen. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, you better stay with the daddy. You need to stay with the daddy up in here. I'm just saying, you got to stay with him. Because when you put it in your hands, you're heading the wrong way. Number two. See, that wasn't bad. That was it. Number two. Number two. When you begin to see, there's always somebody that's going to show you wrong. And when you start living with that crowd, after being in a place like this, after hearing songs like that, see, there was a time when we all were messed up and we didn't know better. Once you've heard about God, once you've heard about his love, his hope, his peace, what he could do for you, when you try to go back with the crowd, it don't work. You think it's good. No, man. Because see, every time you start doing something, you know, it used to be fine. Now it's not fine no more. It used to be fun. Now it's not fun. What is wrong with me? You've been home. Once you go home, you just can't leave again. Maybe it's just time for you to go home. But I'm going to tell you right now, there will always be somebody that'll lead you to the pig pen. And you'll follow him and you're thinking in your head, I shouldn't be doing this. Hey, listen to your heart, because that voice deep down inside of you is telling you the truth. Telling you the truth. Because see, the crowd, they make you think they love you. But all they want is your money. Hey, watch this. When he left home, he had everything. It said he spent it all. He went wild. Why is it when it says that a famine came, he had nothing left? And it doesn't say nothing about the people who was with him. There was nobody with him. Because see, once the world gets what you have, they will leave you in the pig pen. The path to the pig pen. Okay, watch this. There was a famine. Everything. All the food dried up. The water dried up. Famine. People were needy. And it says when the famine hit, this boy had nothing. He had nothing. Hey, listen to me. God has a way of getting your attention. That famine was a way of him to get that boy's attention. You see, this boy did not have to go all the way to the pig pen. He didn't have to end up smelling the nasty. He didn't have to go that far. Hey, look, you don't have to go all the way to the pig pen. You could turn around at any moment. You can see this morning, hey, I'm starting to let things in my life I shouldn't let in. You could turn around right now. You don't have to go all the way down to that pen. You don't have to smell what that smell is like. You don't have to live where that living is like. You could turn around. What am I trying to say? Go home. Just go home. Just go home. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, maybe we should just go home. Don't get your stuff and leave the room, okay? Just go home. Just go home. Go home. Tell somebody. Come on, look at them. Say, hey, you need to go home. Come on, touch somebody else. Say, you need to go home. Am I going too fast? Is everybody all right? Are we doing okay? I know some of you are looking at me like, oh, it's been a long time since I heard something like that. No, it hasn't. I just do it a little different. I just lay it out there. It's just true. It is. You know why that boy shot those people on Monday? Because there was nobody in his life to tell him he could go home. There was nobody. The attorney general called me late Monday night Monday afternoon, right before I preached at Owosso, I got a call from our governor in Florida. His first words was, "I should have had you before this day." And I said, "It's all right, sir. Whatever I can do to help." There was a dad who buried his daughter yesterday. I know the pastor of the church, and he let me live stream. I streamed it. I had about an hour before I came to watch you guys play basketball. The dad, ninth grade daughter, stood up. Her body's right there. I'll never forget this. I'm glad I wasn't in the room. He looked up and he said, "I want to thank you for coming, all of you, to remember my princess." And he stopped and he said, "He killed my girl. I will never see my princess again." He started weeping. Everybody looks at me and goes, "Why do you travel so much? Why do you go so hard?" It's because in my mind's eye, I see these days coming. You don't. Now everybody's going to blame Trump and everybody's going to want gun control. Where's the love for that child to prevent him from ever thinking of putting a gun in his hand? Come on, let's go down to it. Let's start letting kids know. In the real world, there's people who will love you, people who will give you hope, people who will tell you everything's going to be all right. We just got to be willing. Dude, your pastor, your church staff, they did not have to follow me around Thursday and Friday. I could have done those schools by myself. But they went every time. He is, I've been doing this 33 years, no disrespect to any other pastor. Your pastor, he doesn't know this till right now. He's the 12th senior pastor to ever see me do an assembly program in a public school. 12. In 33 years. 12. To go to Webster and to watch PJ do. Every kid in the school knows him. You know what this tells me? You guys aren't pastoring a church. You're pastoring a city. Come on. That's what it's all about. Do me a favor. Just clap for your staff. Clap for your pastors. Clap for what they're doing. I should have done it last session, but I didn't have time. I just had to get this. I got to do it. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, "Turn around." Come on, say, "Turn around." The famine's a warning. The famine's, you know what this is? This sermon's a warning. It's looking at somebody in this room who's ready to go down a path you wish you hadn't. Some of you looking really sad right now. And don't look sad. It's okay. Because guess what? You're still alive. There's still hope. There's still a chance. All you got to do is go home. Just go home. Because the Father, whether you believe it or not, He's looking for you. Hey, check this out. This dude, he started thinking. The son's like, "Okay, look, this is whack. This is whack. I'm about to eat nasty. And my dad's employees have more food than I have. I'm going to go home and say I'm not worthy to be your son. I spent all your money. Just let me work for you. Because at least I won't die." That's pretty good. So he went home thinking, "It ain't going to be good." Because I got a feeling his daddy had a little old school in him. Because he's in the pig pen thinking of his reasoning to tell his dad to let him back home. So he's thinking, "Daddy going to be mad. Daddy going to be real mad. Daddy going to be like, this ain't going to go. He going to yell. He might throw a pig at my head. Daddy going to be mad. Daddy going to be mad." Did you read the script? Did you hear me read it? And you know what it said? It said, he said, "I'm getting up. I'm going home." So he started home. And it says, while he was still far away, the dad saw him. How could the dad know his son was coming? Nobody could send him an email or a text or a Twitter or a cell phone call and say, "Hey, I just saw your son walk by my house. He headed your way." No. Do you know what it was? Every day that dad was looking for his son. Every day. Even though he had all this money and he left, he knew deep down inside, he's coming back. And so every day he was looking for him. And every day he looks for you. Hey, you know what's crazy about this story? Come on, play for me. You know what's crazy about this story? I promise we got to beat them people to the... I'm getting some hot mashed potatoes today. Mashed potato. Dang it. I'm getting some corn. Corn? Yeah. Who's okay? Y'all have no idea. I'm doing personal jokes up here the whole time. Pastor John's wife is cooking me lunch today, and I've been going through, huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Everybody calls him PJ, so I just call him PJ. I wasn't going to do that up here because he's like official. He got a jacket on and everything. Pastor Jeff's wife is cooking. And I know what she's making, but I've decided to say everything that she did not make for lunch. And so I'm going through stuff. She's like, I go chicken. She's like, no. And then I went mashed potatoes. She's like, corn. And she's sinking lower and lower in her chair. So I just thought I'd share that with everybody. It's wrong. I know. I'm ADD though, so it's all good, y'all. I'll get back. I'll get back to it. Hey, you sung a verse, or somebody sung a verse. I think it was you. It was like walking around these walls. Hey, can you sing that for me just real fast? Hey, listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall.
That's good.
But you have never failed me yet.
Okay, stop right there. See, that's what the dad, okay, the dad, the boy was singing that to his dad. Because the boy knew deep down inside. He knew. He didn't know how, but he knew his dad would accept him. That no matter what he's done, no matter where he's been, he knew the love of the Father. And so he didn't think that his dad would take him back all the way like he did, but he just thought, I'm better off. I got to go home. And the crazy thing is, I bet you when that boy hit the hill, he's like, I got two more hills, then I got to get ready. He climbed over that first hill, and he sees something coming his way. And he's like, who is that? And the more he got closer, the more he realized who his daddy is. Because see, your heart, some of you came in church today, and your heart, when they were doing music, like when he's singing this stuff, your heart starts beating a little harder, and you start thinking, dude, what is wrong with me? Am I having a stroke? No. You see, every human was created by God. By hand, he molded your heart. And when God exhaled, you inhaled. So literally, no matter what your mind tells you, your heart knows when it's in the presence of its creator. So if you come in church and your heart starts beating a little faster and you think you're having a stroke, you ain't having a stroke. Your heart's trying to tell the rest of your body, he's here, he's here. Our creator's here. The king is here. He's in this room. I can't believe it. I've made it home. Listen, listen. And then your head talks you out of it. Don't let that happen this morning. Just go home. So this dad comes running to his son. And the boy's like, he gonna yell, he gonna yell, he gonna yell. There's no yelling. It says the dad threw himself on him. I bet they fell on the ground. And I bet his dad didn't say, man, you smell. No, it was nothing like that. Matter of fact, immediately he goes, dad, dad, I don't deserve to be your son. And the son and the dad's like, eh. He goes, hey, give me my robe, get my best robe. You know why? Because whatever you smell like, he can cover it. He can cover it. He can cover it. Because God sent his only son to die on the cross for you. I grew up in foster care. I never had a real dad. Only dad I had, he said he was my foster care dad, but I know in my heart, he's the only daddy I ever needed because he was a school janitor, taught me to love, taught me peace, taught me that everybody has a place, taught me to do what I do. And you know what I found out? That even if my own father, I never know him, which I probably will never meet, I know that even God gave me a replacement to cover me. So if you don't have an earthly father, I'm not talking about no earthly man. This is God. He's all you need. So he took a robe and he covered him. He didn't want anyone else to see how hurt he was. He took his ring and put it on his finger. See, the ring is like an American Express card with no limit. Show the ring, you can get whatever you want. He put his sandals on his feet so that he wouldn't have to limp anymore. Some of you spiritually, you've lost everything. You don't think you deserve to come home. But today, God is running down the aisles of this church, and he's just waiting for you to come home. He's waiting for you to come back home. He knows you lost everything. But guess what? He says he'd sell a cattle on 1,000 hills for you. He loves you that much. Come home. Just come home. Come home. Come home. Come home. Come home. Your promise is true. How about that? Can you do that one for me?
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
Yeah, that's good.
Your faithfulness.
That's good.
I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed.
Do you see what it says on the screen? It says, I'm still in your hand. I'm still in your hand. I'm still in your hand. See, the world wants you to think you're not in his hand anymore. Because, see, the world's done taking from you. Now you're by yourself. The world wants you to stay in the filth, stay in the nasty, stay in it. But you know what? God loves you so much that he runs after you. But you know what the boy could have done? The boy could have said to his father, No, don't touch me. I'm nasty. Don't look at me. Don't. I'm just going to leave again. And he'd run away. If he ran away a second time, do you know that dad would have ran after him a second time? And a third, and a fourth, and a fifth? Why? Because God thinks you're worth running after. But it's time to come home. I want you to start the first verse and sing the chorus. At the chorus, I'm going to give you a verse and a chorus to make up your mind. Pastor, could you come and stand here? Pastor Jeff, could you come and stand here? Pastor, could you come and stand here? I can't think of three people who love you more than these three right here. There's four, but he got his play. I ain't going to sing. If I sing, people die. I can play saxophone. I ain't going to sing. Hey, look, I don't want anybody to come by themselves. Oh, yeah, there he is. I thought you left. You were blending in the crowd halfway back. Look at you. I like you. Hey, come to Jesus. Come home. Come home. If you are saying, Reggie, I need to come home. There's sin in my life. I'm messed up. I need to come home. Some of you are like, dude, why don't you just say, bow your head, close your eyes, raise your hand. Nah, it's too easy. I want the people who are real this morning. People died this week because people hadn't done this. It's your turn to come home. You know if you left him, you know what you're doing. It's only about, 35 seconds to sing the verse and the chorus. And when he gets close to the end of the chorus, I'm going to give you a countdown to get up here. It don't matter which pastor you stand in front of, I'm going to pray for you. But you know what the Bible says in Matthew? If you declare me before men, I'll declare you before my Father in heaven. You're literally taking this for real. I'm leaving the filth. I'm leaving the pig pen. I'm coming home. If you need to come home, you got that. You just got to move and come and stand in front of a pastor. You know who you are in the front and the back. Age ain't got nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with this. 70-something-year-old man in the lobby shook my hand and said, I said that prayer. Said, I needed to hear that this morning. He was in the first service. All right? If you need to get right with God, move now. If you need a friend to come with you, check your hands to your friend. Say, come with me. Here we go.
Walking around these walls.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I thought by now they'd
fall. The saints are praying right now. Come on. This is life and death.
You have never failed me.
It's good.
Waiting for change to come.
This is your change right now. This is it this morning. This is why we're
knowing
here.
Knowing the battle's won.
Yes, it is. It's already won. You just got to accept
for
it.
For you
morning.
Have never failed me yet.
Hey, church, let's help them out. Everybody stand. Just lift your hands and start singing.
Still stand.
Your promise still stands.
Great is your faith.
Ask somebody by you. Ask them if they need to go. Come on, you don't know. You may have been praying for somebody. Just lean over. All they can say is, I'm okay. But ask them, do you need to go? I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. Say it to your friend. Come on.
You've never failed me yet.
You never failed me yet. You never failed us, Jesus. You never failed us. You never failed us.
I've seen you move.
Yes.
You move the mountains.
Yes, you have.
And I believe. I've seen you through it again.
Made a way this morning.
When there was no way.
I believe.
And I believe. I've seen you do it again.
Stretch your hands this way. Come on, church. Come on. We got a couple of seconds, don't we? Everybody say this with me. Jesus, touch our people. Let them feel you right now, like a son felt his dad. Fall on them, Jesus. Give them a robe. Cover the pain. Let them never forget what they've done today. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way out of the pig pen. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us today. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come home. We can come home. Everybody say thank you for coming home. Well, that's pretty good, but they got to hear you. Say thank you for coming home. Come on, just one more time. Say thank you for coming home. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pastor's going to come and close in prayer. I'll let you know, to do public schools the way we do, churches like you who give love offerings like you did, help us. If you'd like to have something in exchange, though, I have two books, saxophone CDs, preaching CDs in the back. I'll be back there. I have an autobiography, says Reggie, and I have a book. It's letters from kids in public schools. Pretty cool. Cool. And listen, he's real, isn't he? Hey, church, keep reaching out. Keep reaching out. When you get that new edition finished, fill it up. Fill it up. Because God's going to use you to change this city. And I'm going to help you do it. We already got next year dates already booked. Cool. We're coming back. So if you're not a senior, I'm coming back next year. We're going to hang out again, okay? Listen to Pastor. I'll see you in the back. God bless you.
Just stay if you want to. You don't have to go back. Just stay right here. Some of you still praying. That's cool. So you can just stay right there because we're just going to be a second. I just want to tell you that, man, what a great word. What a great word from Reggie. I want you to think about that when it talks about the Father saying, hey, bring a robe and put that robe around him. A ring on his finger. Shoes on his feet. And Reggie said that the nasty that was on that kid gets covered up. You see what happens when you come to Jesus? The past doesn't matter. Right? Right? It doesn't matter. Because we get covered in His righteousness. I said this morning, some Sunday I ought to say, everybody's been in the penitentiary. Just stand up. I won't do it because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But you know what? Because you'd look around and go, you mean that man was in the penitentiary? You mean that man? See, if we all start saying, well, here's what I did and here's where I messed up and whatever, you'd be thinking, I can't believe that. I had no idea about that person's past. Because you know what happens? Because God redeems our past. And He gives us a new start and a new future, whatever. There's one place in the Bible where Paul says, he lists off this long list of people and things and sin and men, all kinds of stuff that you're going, whoa, bad stuff. And then he says, and such were some of you, but you've been saved and washed and changed by what Jesus did for us. And that's what happens. So all of a sudden, didn't matter how nasty that was, he gets rid of the old stuff and the Father puts a new robe on him and new shoes and a ring and says, come on, come home. And now let's start living like a son again. Man, I love, what a great word, come home, come home. This is home. This is home where the Father puts His arm around you and tells you you're going to make it. And you can make it. And you can make it. If you need a church home, you found one this morning. You found a place that will love you and care about you. And we'll go through some stuff together because that's what we do. It's family, right? Am I telling the truth? Yeah, it's family. So that's where we are. We're family, right? Yeah. So we're going to do this together. Family, right? Right? She calls me grandpa. Yeah. Because it's family. Because that's what this is. And Jesus loves us and He's changed us. Thank God for it. Thank wherever Reggie is. Thank you, brother, for sharing the word. Thank you for you that have come home today. Now we're King's kids. We're going to live like it. We'll mess up along the way, but we're going to live like it. Webster basketball team, thank you guys for being here. I know y'all come on Wednesday night. Thanks for being here on Sunday morning. We do this on Sundays. I don't play the saxophone, but anyway, we do this on Sundays. And everybody's invited to come back. Let's thank the Lord for what He's done this morning. Lord, thank You for family. Thank You for folks that have come home to Jesus today that have made this decision. to ask for your forgiveness and to experience that forgiveness. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to make that difference in their lives. For others, Lord, that visited today because they heard Reggie was going to be here. Their kid came home, a student came home from school and said, hey, I want to go to that church on Sunday. And they walked in not knowing what they were going to experience, and it hadn't scared them too bad. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to their heart and they'll think, maybe I go back and try this again. And let them come back and find a place of healing and hope and laughter and peace. Lord, let it be in our lives that we experience that. For broken and for hopeless situations, Lord, come heal us and fill us up with hope and let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Bless these students, Lord. Bless them and bless their school. Lord, I pray they're safe in the school. I pray, Lord, that from this day on, we're going to have more light in some of those places, Lord, because these students are going to go back and let the light of Jesus shine in their family, in their home, in their community, in their school. Lord, help us to make a difference in this world by living for you. I bless you. I love you. I thank you, Jesus. Amen.